prayer. I want you to get your Bibles, if you will, please, and we are going to look at Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 40, which is the text setting. But I also want you to get 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Would you find chapter 20? Now, Brother Wyrick and Brother Toon have so noted that Friday is going to be prayer time for the Christian radio station. So I thought tonight I would preach a little bit about prayer and how we should have that, of course, in our lives. And I want to say that prayer is powerful. Do you believe that? Prayer is powerful. It is. And I want to talk a little bit about prayer because we're going to set aside all day, as I understand it, Friday, for prayer for the radio station, the Share-a-thon that's coming. And there's different guys going to be on there, different preachers going to be on there praying. And you can call in prayer requests, or you can have prayer, or just enjoy the radio broadcast about prayer on Friday this week. Prayer is powerful. It allows us to cast our burdens, isn't this good, on God. We can cast our burdens on God, and we can then receive guidance from Him and provision from Him. Prayer is powerful. Then I thought you and I can experience God's power for daily living when we are willing to bow before Him and seek Him earnestly. Now, over the course of years, and I know how this goes, prayer becomes old hat to most of us who are Christians. And we have to have a spark again to get us back to praying like we ought to pray. Sometimes it just becomes a routine, and we need a spark to get back. Tonight I'm hoping to get the spark back in all of us so we can pray a little more and pray better and see God do some wonderful things. I say again, prayer is powerful. How should we pray? Well, I believe we need to recognize that God is the sovereign of the universe. There's a scripture in Nehemiah chapter 1. Would you go there with me, please? Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Nehemiah addressed his prayer to the great and terrible God. He said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven." Notice what he said next. "The great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments." He recognized that the Lord was in absolute control of everything. Now go with me to Psalm 103, verse 19, please. There it says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." Now, that's the Bible telling us that. That's not some preacher or some organization or some man. It's the Bible that says that God rules over all. It's the God of heaven who rules. He is in absolute control. Even when difficult circumstances come our way, our Heavenly Father never ceases to be the ruler and the master of the universe. Now, I know many of us in this room have been through all kinds of difficulty in our lives. We have seen things come and go, and sometimes when things get a little sour or a little backwards or a little out of shape, we think God's not there, or He's not answering, or He doesn't care any longer. But let me just remind you one more time, even when difficult circumstances come our way, our Heavenly Father never ceases to be the ruler and the master of the universe. And honestly, He still has everything under control. Let's just have a little summary tonight. Let's get Roman numeral 1 started. I have 9 Roman numerals, but it won't take me as long as you might think 9 would. Roman numeral number 1, please, if you follow me, please. Becoming a Christian, and I think you already know this, becoming a Christian does not solve all of your problems. Have you found that to be true? Did somebody ever tell you one day, "You're going to get saved, you're going to trust God, and you'll never have a problem again"? They lied to you. You're going to have problems, even though you're saved. And so I need to say it, and I need to say it the very first thing. Becoming a Christian does not solve all your problems. However, it does mean you have access to the one who can help solve any challenge of your life. Now, we have the challenge coming up about the Sherathon for Coshocton and for Clyde. And God is more than able to equip us and help us meet the challenge in our radio station. There's no problem at all. But becoming a Christian doesn't solve all of our problems. Instead of wrestling, however, with difficulties in our own life, in our own strength, according to our own wisdom, we can and we have the privilege to turn to the Heavenly Father. This is exactly what King Jehoshaphat did. Now, you're in 2 Chronicles. I want you to go to chapter 20. Look at verse number 1 through 3. Now, here's the study we're going to do is right here. In 2 Chronicles, here's exactly what King Jehoshaphat did when he was told that his nation, Judah, would soon be attacked. He immediately turned to the Lord by calling the people to fasting and to prayer. Now, from Jehoshaphat's example, I want to take tonight some learning and some instruction through several key principles about solving problems through prayer. Notice, if you will, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them, other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat, verse number 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee. Now, what happened when Jehoshaphat heard all that? In verse number 3, he said just like what we would have said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, I want to show you a little bit of a difference. He said he feared. Don't kid me when things go awry in your life, you fear as well. When the doctor says you have, it looks like, terminal cancer, you fear. When the doctor says your heart's all plugged up, you fear. When you have to have some kind of surgery, you fear. But here's what he did that was different. And Jehoshaphat feared, but then it says, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. The thing he did was, he sought the Lord. That's where sometimes we don't do. We get so afraid and so scared. Roman numeral number 2. Look at a scriptural principle here. And let me say this to you, that God is interested in your problem. Whatever your problem is right now that you have going on in your life, God is indeed interested in your problem. Yes, he is. As soon as Jehoshaphat learned that these three armies were coming against him to attack this nation, and they were all coming at the same time, he was afraid. And he turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. Now, he knew that God cared. Do you know that God cares? He knew that God cared about him and was concerned about him and demonstrated that faith by turning to the Lord. You see, if you really know that God cares, I believe you will turn yourself to God. But if the devil ever gets in your head to make you think God doesn't care, then you'll have a struggle getting to God because you don't think he cares. Now, if you are his child, I want to tell you this evening that the Father is interested in helping you overcome anything that's defeating you, anything that is discouraging you or depressing you. Now, those who aren't believers, go to John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Those who are not believers don't have the same promise that you and I have. This is a wonderful thing. There's a wonderful promise God has given to us that the unbeliever does not have. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, unbelievers must begin by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They must ask him to forgive them of their sins, take control of their lives, and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Only then can they experience the joy of leaning on the Lord for all of their needs and have their needs met. To have people tell us that they're not saved and they don't go to church and they don't trust God, but they still pray to God and God still answers prayer, I'm telling you, that's not so. You've got to know God before God answers prayer. You've got to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. You've got to know the Lord. This is a wonderful truth. It'll set you free. So listen, if you don't know God, tonight we need to know God. We need to attach ourselves to God. And then when we pray, we know and have the confidence that God will answer our prayers. It's so very important. Roman numeral number 3. God is greater than your problem. Now, Jehoshaphat. Now, we're staying with Jehoshaphat, but I want you now to turn to Jeremiah. We're coming back to 2 Chronicles in just a moment, but go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jehoshaphat knew something. He knew that these three armies coming against Judah were capable not only of defeating him in battle, but also destroying the homes of his people, destroying and robbing them of their valuables. And yet he responded with the same attitude that Jeremiah had. What did Jeremiah say in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, did you hear that? Jeremiah said, you know what I found out about God? Now, other people would say other things about God, but Jeremiah said, I have found out about God. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing. Jeremiah said, I've learned something. There is nothing too hard for thee. Oh, Jeremiah said, do you know that? Do you know that for sure, that there's nothing too hard for God? Now go back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 4. Now follow me, please. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look at this. This is powerful. Everybody came out of the cities to seek the Lord. First of all, you got to know you have a need, there's a problem, and you got to seek God. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thine hand there is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He's reminding God of who he is. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. We don't know what to do. And listen, have you ever got yourself in a family or situation where you said, I don't know what to do. God, you've got to have to help me. Boy, I have been there. I don't know what to do, God. You've got to come. You've got to rescue us. You promised you would. Please, God, I don't know what to do. You ever been there? Sure you have from time to time. And God has come. Now follow me down, please. Do you also trust God to handle any problem you face? I'm doing my best with everything in my life to do that all the time. I hope you are too. The Father doesn't wring his hands, by the way, when you come to him with a difficult situation, because he is perfectly capable of leading you to victory, no matter what the situation. And by the way, the situation you might be in tonight has never caught God off guard. He knew it was coming. God knew all about that. God knew exactly where you'd be this year, 2011. On this November night, God knew exactly where you'd be. It has not taken God by surprise. And he's there. Now go with me to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 27. It almost says the same thing as verse 17 of Jeremiah 32. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Now the question is asked, is there anything too hard for me? I want to know how you answer that. Is there anything too hard for God in your individual life? No, there's not. The answer comes back. Roman numeral 4. Our response should be to seek the Lord. Now, we're talking about prayer. And our response should be to seek the Lord. I want you to notice something. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 3 one more time. I want you to notice Jehoshaphat, his initial reaction to bad news, and how it's different than ours. Now, when we get bad news, and I'm sure if you're alive and well tonight, somewhere in your life you had some bad news given to you from time to time. I want to know what we do. Well, what Jehoshaphat did in verse number 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Notice what he did. He didn't call all of his generals together for a big conference. He didn't do that. He didn't discuss the war strategy. Instead, he immediately turned to prayer. Now, when bad stuff hits your life, do you pray? Or do you get on the phone? Or do you get on Facebook? Oh, man, I'm having a bad day. Well, instead of telling the whole world that, why don't you just tell God that? I just can't understand why people get on a communication tool and tell everybody how bad they're having it. I don't get it. I don't get it. If I was having a bad day, I don't want you to know it. I'll just talk to God about it, and he can correct it. There's no sense in you knowing it, because if you know it, you might want to find some fault of why I'm like that. I wonder what he did wrong. You know what I'm saying? But on those communication pages, people are talking all the time. I can't sleep. I can't do this. My toe hurts. I woke up this morning with a headache. I've got cramps. Please, I don't care. Please. My mother-in-law moved in. I don't care. I mean, it's like everybody should care about how you feel. I don't care. Unbelievable, isn't it? Scripture tells us, I can't get off my message here. Scripture tells us, this was typical of Jehoshaphat, by the way. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 3. Scripture tells us, it's typical, he was known as a king who regularly sought the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Everybody knew this guy was always seeking God. That's a good testimony. In times of crisis, do you initially turn to the Lord? Or do you immediately turn to a friend? I challenge you tonight to go to God first with all of your problems. As his children, we have the incredible privilege of going directly to him with all of our concerns, with all of our burdens. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's where you ought to be going, is to the throne room of Almighty God. It's incredible, isn't it? Let him put your problems in perspective. Then tell a friend who can support you with prayer and perhaps godly advice. So number 5, Roman numeral 5, please. God may want to involve other people in praying for your situation. That's why we have prayer requests. That's why we ask for folks to let us know. That's why on Friday we're going to have you call in and pray and maybe have a request yourself, but you're going to help pray for the station. We want prayer. I mean, I think if you're going to have a good charathon, you ought to bathe the thing in prayer. I think if you had a good church service tonight, you ought to bathe this thing in prayer tonight. I hope some of us got together somewhere today, sometime or other, in our busy schedule and had prayer. Dear God, would you bless our preacher tonight as he preaches, and would you please keep me awake? I hope I can keep you awake. But, you know, it's amazing how that oftentimes we don't even pray about any services. We just come and expect God just to be there. God, be here, please. Let the Shekinah glory of God be here. Let the power of God be here. Let somebody be saved. Let somebody be touched by God. Let somebody come out of a dilemma. Let somebody come out of an addiction. God, help us tonight to see a real move of the Holy Spirit of God. God may want to involve other people in praying for your situation. Sometimes the things that worry us affect other people. Sometimes it affects our family, our churches, our communications, even our other countries, or maybe our own country. Jehoshaphat involved the whole nation. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3 and 4 one more time. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves, now follow me, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. One of the greatest treasures we have in life is godly, caring friends. This right here is one of the best places to be on a Wednesday night, amongst godly, caring friends. I don't want to be anyplace else. I want to be right here. Here's where a bunch of godly friends of mine are, and they care for me, they love me, they show it. Thank you again for the day you gave to my wife and I last week. We so appreciate it. I sat up all night long. Well, not all night, but I read every one of those little papers. It was such a blessing to me. Sat in my chair, and my wife couldn't stay up. She got sleepy-eyed, and so she went on to bed, and I just stayed up and read every single one and just rejoiced about my people who love me and I love them so very much. Thank you so much. There's nothing like good, caring, godly friends. Don't be too prideful to open up to a trustworthy friend or person about your struggles. The blessing is twofold, you see. Friends help carry your burdens, and seeing God answer your prayers can increase their faith. A lot of things happen when people are praying together. Sharing the load. Roman numeral number 6. God will provide a solution to your problem. Wow. You sure of that, preacher? I'm sure of it. God will provide a solution to your problem. While the people of Judah were in prayer, the Lord revealed that he would fight the battle on their behalf. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 15. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Wow. Has God ever told you that a battle you're fighting is not yours? It's God's. He's the same God as he was in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. He never changes. He's the same. We can also trust that our God will fight for us. He's willing to give us what we need. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And he that spared not his own son, he didn't even spare his own son. He could have. The songwriter said he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he did not. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will provide a solution for your problem. But what about those times when he doesn't? Let's stop, because we have to say that. Hold it, preacher. You just said he would. But what about those times when he doesn't answer our prayers immediately? Now think with me. If a solution is slow in coming, I want you to start thinking this way about your Christian life. We should prayerfully search our hearts. If a solution to the problem is not coming immediately, maybe we need to search our hearts a little bit. He may want to reveal areas of sin in our life or compromise that may have contributed to the problem. Father also may want to deal with motives or maybe negative thinking that the difficulty reveals. Maybe that's what he's doing. You see, I believe this. I believe that God is more interested in our character than our comfort. We're really interested in our comfort. And we are really interested, Brother Mark, we're really interested in what we have. God's interested in our character. I think a whole bunch more than it is. our comfort. God will provide a solution. Number 7, our prayer should be God-centered, not problem-centered. If you look carefully at Jehoshaphat's prayers in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, chapter 20, verse 6 through 12, we just read those a moment ago, you'll notice he focused almost exclusively on the Lord's power and his promise to deliver his people. You see, the king briefly mentioned, if you'll notice those verses, he mentioned Judah's weakness in comparison to the multitude coming against them, but concluded his prayer by affirming that the nation's trust is going to be in the Lord. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I don't know what to do here, but our eyes are on you. I'm telling you, that's powerful. Prayer should be God-centered, not problem-centered. When you pray, do you tend to focus on your problems? Its details, its severity, its possible consequences? I can assure you, if you will choose to focus on the Father's resources, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, oh God, you are a great God. You are the one who brings miracles our way. You are the one I know you are from Scripture. And because how I've trusted you before, you are such a great God that answers prayer. You've done it time and time. See, you're focusing on God's greatness rather than, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm trying to direct our church tonight not to say, what are we going to do about this share-a-thon? What do we do if we don't raise enough money? That's not our worry. It's God's. It's his battle. We're just his servants. Oh, God, you're the great God. We know you can supply every need. Oh, how you've blessed so many hearts and lives and how many souls you've saved through this radio ministry. And wow, the lives you're touching and the older folks and the younger folks and the middle-aged folks who are being blessed. Every day I hear about the blessings. Oh, God, what a wonderful Savior you are. And all of a sudden you're focusing all on that stuff rather than focusing on your problem and its severity or its consequences. I'm telling you, your problem is going to seem smaller if you focus on God. Amen. And your problem is going to seem less frightening. There's so many distractions in the world. I guess when we pray, I got to talk about this a bit. Men, can we really, really pray while watching SportsCenter? Say, preacher, I had the best prayer of my whole life. I was watching SportsCenter and praying at the same time. It doesn't work. Ladies, do you think you can really focus on prayer while shopping at the mall? Say, Brother Lewis, I'm telling you, I had the greatest prayer while I was shopping at the mall and I was praying. Do you think that's the really prayer that God wants us to have? Now, I'm just thinking with me now. Just think. Now, my wife and I, for years, listened to Scripture. That's how I formulated my ministry. We bought Alexander Scorby, first of all. How many of you ever heard of Alexander Scorby? I had Alexander Scorby's tapes, right? Tapes. Records first. We got the records first. I mean, that's way back. We got records first, and my wife and I put those records of Alexander Scorby on, and in the morning we're getting ready to go to work and stuff, and Alexander Scorby is reading the Scriptures, and we're saying, "Whoo, hey man, that's a good passage," and we'd listen and do dishes and listen and do this and do that and get ready and, you know, all that stuff. And then my wife, while she's jogging, would listen to Scriptures and listen to songs, and sometimes she'd be shouting on the treadmill. She's running, "Woo! Wow! Thank you, Jesus! Whoa, that's good! That's good!" I'm serious. And we had a great time, and we did that for years. We still do it. I love doing it. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not prayer. That's prayer, but it's not prayer. I want to show you why. Do you think we can really pray with iPads and iPods? Internet and cell phones. You're on the internet and you're praying at the same time? Using your cell phone, you're praying at the same time? I don't think so. In order to be effective and efficient in prayer, you must find a place where you can focus. Why do you suppose? Now stop. I know. Oh, but preacher, I'm telling you what, the best prayer I ever had when I was on that treadmill, or the best prayer I ever had when I was out hunting. Hold a second. Where did Jesus go when he went to prayer? He went to Gethsemane. Remember? He went to a mountain. Who was with him? Nobody. Jesus, the very Son of God, needed. I'm telling you, I understand in our modern society, we have a lot going on. We can do 2-3 things at once. But the best kind of praying you can ever do is get by yourself, shut the radio off, shut the TV off, put the Bible away, and just pray. Say, preacher, put the Bible away? Hold it. No. Just pray. We are so foreign about prayer. We don't know how to pray. We have to have noise going, something happening, a book in front of me, a Bible, a daily devotional. We can't just put everything aside and just kneel with God and pray. You know, that's what he talked about. He said in the closet of prayer. Remember? Now, a closet doesn't mean you have to go to a little old closet and shut the door, but it could mean that. I know some folks who have developed in their houses prayer closets. I went to 2 or 3 houses in our church where they built them a little altar even. And they'd go in there and just shut the door and pray by their little altar. And I'm telling you, that's perfectly fine. But if Jesus thought it necessary to go to Gethsemane to get away from everybody, to go to a mountain to get away from everybody, and you'll look at it scripturally over and over again, he was by himself. He felt constrained to get by himself with the Heavenly Father. Not with children, not with husband, not with wife, just yourself. I wonder how many of us really just spend time doing that. And I wonder how many of us start the prayer out proper. I think before we ever come to God, as we come to God, we ought to say something like this. Heavenly Father, I come to your throne. I want to thank you for who you are. You are the great God of the universe. You are my creator. You are my sustainer. And you just simply brag on God a little bit. And secondly, I think how you come to God is you must confess that you're a weak sinner. Lord, I want you to forgive me today as I come before your presence. I know I'm pastor of the church, but I want you to forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me, wash me, purge me. The Bible says in 2 Peter, wash me by the word of God. The blood of God washed you positionally. But every day by walking in this life, you get dirty. And you need the word of God to cleanse you and to wash you. Oh God, let the word of God today purge my heart, cleanse my mind, strengthen me, forgive me, and then pray for others. And then pray for the great work. And then pray for yourself. What a way to pray. Our prayers should be God-centered, not problem-centered. Jesus went to Gethsemane because he needed some time to be alone with his Heavenly Father just to pray. Number 8, God's solution usually requires an act of faith. Important decisions typically challenge our faith to some degree. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God revealed, this is kind of neat, look at verse number 17. God revealed something here. He did not want Judah to fight at all. That's interesting to me. He told them, in verse number 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Isn't that amazing? Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He said, you don't need to fight. What if God's ever told any of us, why don't you just quit your fighting? Just trust me and let me do the battle. Now, folks, don't get all geared up about this Sheraton where it makes you a basket case trying to believe God's going to answer prayer. My goodness, we ought to have revival right now. This week ought to be a fun week next week. Woo, wait to see what God's going to do. Woo, it's his battle. Wow, you just wait. Man, I'm telling you what, every need's going to be met. Things are going to come in. God's going to be blessed. I mean, souls are going to be saved. Just guess what, God? I mean, I just can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do. Now, folks say, I almost hate Sheraton. I just get so nervous, and I don't know what to do. What in the world? Give it to God. Come on, amen. You say, yeah, but it's people he's got to work through. That's how God always works us through people. What did God tell him here? Don't fight. Let me do something. Just don't fight. You see, sure enough, by the time Judah, her army, reached the battlefield, I want to show you in verse 21 through 25, not one single enemy was alive. In confusion, they had killed each other. Look at verse 21. Unbelievable. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed, I like this. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. We need some singers. Singers go first. He told them not to fight. Send the singers out. Don't send the soldiers. Send the singers first. Come on, singers. Come on, amen. The singers are going to go out. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. When they began to sing and praise, what did the Lord do? He set ambushments up. It's an unbelievable story. That's all I need, some singers. That's all we need, just a bunch of singers. For the children of Ammon, Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could even carry. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. I suggest let God do the fighting. And they had 3 days of nothing but hauling away the spoil. All the riches and the jewels and the rubies and diamonds. It's unbelievable what God did. The Lord's instructions won't always make sense, does it? It doesn't always make sense how God tells you to do things. I mean, about the city of Jericho, did that make any sense? Just march around the city? That didn't make any sense. But it was right. Go dip in the River Jordan. Does that make any sense? Well, the man didn't think that made any sense. He said, what do you mean, me dip in the muddy River of Jordan? Come on. And finally, his commanding officer said, now, if he'd told you something great to do, you'd have done it. So just go down there and dip and see what happens. And he did exactly like God, the prophet said, and he came, Bible says, like a little child, his skin came back. Does it always make sense what God tells you to do? No, it doesn't always make sense. But from a human standpoint, it doesn't. But if the answer is truly from him, he will give you the faith to follow his commands and resolve every single problem. And last, number 9. Is this true? God's solution is always the best. That's the best. The Lord knows the personality and the past of each and every individual involved in any problem. God knows every intimate detail. And he knows what the future holds. As humans, our knowledge is limited. But if we are willing to trust our Heavenly Father, we will discover the best possible solution is just to trust God. I'm done with this. Do you think God is interested in your problem? Do you think God's interested in your pain? Is he interested in your headaches? I should look at Leslie and say that. Poor Leslie, bless her heart. She has those migraine headaches so terribly. She had to go home the other day from church because she was hurting so bad. And God needs to heal that lady from that. Does he care about that? Does he care about you? Yes, he does. We live so far away from our privileges. If we believe it, I pray you'll be willing to surrender your life to him tonight. And I pray tonight, if there is a problem that you're going through, or if there's a solution you've not found yet, focus on the Father's awesome power and trust him to resolve your situation, listen now, in his timing. Don't you set the timetable. You let him do that. Now, I know everybody's always anxious to get the timetable going. You got to let God do it in his time. But surrender yourself. Musicians are coming. I'm closing. In God's hands, I found this to be true. Problems are not roadblocks. They are awesome opportunities for us to develop a more intimate and dynamic relationship with him. Problems are not roadblocks. They're awesome opportunities to develop more intimate and dynamic relationship with our Savior. Where are you at tonight? What is the problem that's staring you in the face? Give it to God tonight, this altar. And then somewhere tonight or early hours of the morning or tomorrow, get yourself a prayer place where you can just spend some time with God yourself. Let's just see what God will do. We have the Share-a-thon we're praying about. Let's just see what God will do. Let's stand together, please.